जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन Sachidanandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanakari Yamuna Tira Vanakari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jayam Vishnu Patraman Parivraja Kacharya Aspati Sishimadis Divine Grace Abhaisar Naravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौड़ भक्तवृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय गौर प्रेमान ऑल गुरु संबल डिवोटीज ऑल गुरु संबल डिवोटीज ऑल लोटस संबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौड़
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Na Vai janaha jatu kathanchana avrajet mukundasevi anyavat anga samsritim smaran mukundangri upaghuyanam puna vihatum Ichet na rasagraha janaha navai jana jatu kathanchanu vrajet mukunda sevi anyavad anga samsitim smaran mukundangri upaghuyanam punar Vihatum ichhe narasagraha janaha Navai jano jatu kathanchana vrajen Mukunda sevi anyavad anga samsritim Smaran mukundangri upaghuyanam punar Vihatum ichhe narasagraho janaha Navai jano jatu kathachana vrajen Mukunda sevi anyavad anga samsritim Smaran mukundangri upaghuyanam punar Vihatum ichhe narasagraho janaha. Navai jano jatu kathanchana vrajen. Mukunda sevi anyavad. Ran mutundandri upaghuyanam punar. విహాతుమిచ్చేన్న స్రసో గ్రహో జనః నవై జన జాతు కథంచన వ్రజేన్ ముకుంద సేవి అన్యవత్ సంగ సంస్కృతిం స్మరణ ముకుందాంగ్రి ఉపగూయనం పునార్ విహాతుమిచ్చేన్న రసగ్రహో జనః నవై జనజాతు కథంచన వ్రజేన్ ముకుంద సేవి అన్యవత్ అంగ సంస్కృతిం స్మరణ్ ముకుందాంగ్రి ఉపగూయనం పునార్ విహాతుమిచ్చేన్న రసగ్రహో జనః లేడీస్ No, never. Why? Certainly. Janaha, a person. Jatu, at any time. Kathanchana, somehow or other. Avrajet, does not undergo. Mukunda Sevi, the devotee of the Lord. Anyavat, like others. Anga, O my dear, Shram Shritim, material existence, Smarana, remembering, Mukunda Angri, the lotus feet of the Lord, Upaguyanam, embracing, Punaha, again, Vihatum, willing to give up, Ichet, desire, Na, never, Rasagraha, one who has relished the mellow, Janaha, person, proper by Srila Prabhupada. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down, somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, footy workers, etc. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Report. A devotee of the Lord automatically becomes uninterested in the enchantment of material existence because he is rasagraha, or one who has tasted the sweetness of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. There are certainly many instances where devotees of the Lord have fallen down due to uncongenial association, just like fruity workers, who are always prone to degradation. But even though he falls down, a devotee is never to be considered the same as a fallen karmi. A karmi suffers the result of his own fruitive reactions, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself. The sufferings of an orphan and the sufferings of a beloved child of a king are not one and the same. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him. But a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of his capable father. A devotee of the Lord, due to wrong association, sometimes imitates the fruitive workers. The fruitive workers want to lord it over the material world. Similarly, a neophyte devotee foolishly thinks of accumulating some material power in exchange of devotional service. Such foolish devotees are sometimes put in difficulty by the Lord himself. As a special favor, he may remove all material paraphernalia By such action, the bewildered devotee is forsaken by all friends and relatives, and so he comes to his senses again by the mercy of the Lord and is set right to execute his devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that such fallen devotees are given a chance to take birth in the family of highly qualified brahmanas or in a very rich mercantile family. A devotee in such a position is not as fortunate as one who is chastised by the Lord and put into a position of seemingly helplessness. The devotee who has become helpless, who becomes helpless by the will of the Lord, is more fortunate than the one who is born in good families. The fallen devotee born in a good family may forget the lotus feet of the Lord because they are less fortunate. But the devotee who is put into a forlorn condition is more fortunate because he swiftly returns to the lotus feet of the Lord, thinking himself helpless all around. Pure devotional service is so spiritually relishable that a devotee becomes automatically uninterested in material enjoyment. That is the sign of perfection in progressive devotional service. A pure devotee continuously remembers the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna and does not forget him even for a moment. And not even in exchange for all the opulence of the three worlds. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, fruity workers, etc. Because a person who has once released the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Hare Krishna. When you go to a seemingly dangerous area, it is the government's policy to put some warning signs. There is deep water here. Swimmers, be careful. Or there's a big electrical installation. To be major board. Do not touch this. Or there is somewhere there is a fire. Or there is a petrol pump. To be some warning signs. Or there's a sharp curve on the highway. A warning sign, slow down. Right? So it is that we have been warned many times to be careful about potentially dangerous situations. The acharyas similarly have given some warnings. And one very serious warning comes from Sri Padrupa Goswami. He tells us not to go to one particular place. It's the most dangerous place. So don't go to Keshi Ghat. Don't go to Keshi Ghat. They put a big board there. So we may wonder why. So he gives understanding. If you go to Keshi Ghat and you happen to see Krishna over there, you will lose all taste for material life. So please do not go to Keshi Ghat. How beautiful is this warning? How sweet and how encouraging is this warning, that instead of not going there, you want to really go there. Right? You want to really go there. Right? And see this person whom he's talking about. Where does this warning come from? This warning comes from Rupa Goswami's pure heart. And why does it come out in this way? Because he has released what is being spoken here. He has released that taste. We want to remember that Rupa Goswami wrote the classic, devotional classic called as Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. And Prabhupada is talking about those devotees who are Rasa Graha. So who's more Rasa Graha than our Rasacharya? Who wrote Rasamrita Sindhu as a topmost grantha for all aspiring and devotees desiring perfection on the path of bhakti. These great souls, they are actually experiencing Krishna. So we experience this so-called world of reality around us. We see, we feel, we touch. So with all our senses, we are actually experiencing. This experience is not false. This is real experience. I can see, I can feel, I can smell. It's real. Right? This is sensory perception. Prabhupada says, to perceive that world, you also require senses. All perception is based on senses. There cannot be perception without senses. Not possible. But then you have to awaken your inner senses, the soul senses. So Prabhupada gives an example that if I give you a rasgulla, but I cover your tongue with a piece of cloth. Said, they both meet high. Your tongue is covered with cloth. Can you eat rasgulla? You eat one, you eat three. Sit down. Imagine here. Not feeling it. Covered senses do not give adequate sensory experiences. Right? Or they may give you at the most minimal experience. So also, why we are not able to experience Krishna in the form of the Archa Vigraha? Why we are not able to experience the Lord in the holy name which we just chanted and we're doing it every day for 2 hours for these many years? But we very rarely experience. Maybe ecstatic kirtan going on and pure devotees singing and everything is suitable and you're not very tired and you're not spaced out. You may start relishing something. Why don't we relish Krishna in so many forms? Senses are covered. So bhakti is a process of uncovering our spiritual senses. But there's a problem. It may sound so simple, but it is not so simple. Basically, as we can see here, Srila Prabhupada is giving us a warning and a hope together. The warning is that it tells us very clearly up front that many devotees have fallen. It is very clear. So as an acharya, as a father who knows that this path is not path of bed of roses. You will not be walking on it with a comfortable soft feel till the doors of Vaikuntha. It will be ridden with a significant set of thorns. And therefore, because it is sometimes thorny, devotees tend to feel, I want to take a more easier path. This is too thorny. And they may take a detour. You may take a detour. What does the detour mean? It means that, as it is, I am not enjoying spiritual life. At least there is some enjoyment here. Let me actually enjoy the world. I can always do this. So with devotees, Nandana Maharaj says, with karmis, the slogan is, don't take to Krishna consciousness. Maya is whispering in the ears. And what is the slogan for devotees? Do surrender to Krishna now. For devotees, it is, become Krishna conscious afterwards. That means for us, the slogan is, postpone Krishna consciousness. For the karmi, the slogan is, don't become Krishna conscious. Right? So, Maya, when she sees that we are sincerely treading this path, she will give us some detours. Acharyas, including Jesus Christ, warns us of this. He said, those who are my followers, they have three choices. He said, I'm walking in front. When those are walking behind me, of course, Acharya is in front, the commander is in front, soldiers are behind. The Gurudev is always in front. Right? Those are walking behind me, please remember, my dear disciples, don't look behind for all the things which you have given up in your life to tread this path of truth. Don't look to the sides also, because it's full of distractions of what the world has to offer you. Just look towards my feet and I will take you. Essentially, these are three choices. Regretting what we have given up to come to this path. We have all given up something. Some of us have given up many things, depending on our level of conditioning, right? Our habits, lives, pursuits, aspirations, maybe even dreams. We have given up. I said, don't look behind again, but given is given up. Once you vomit, you don't look at the vomit again. It is distasteful. Just give it up. But also don't look toward the sides. Just look in front. This all starts with the desire. What is the meaning of looking on the sides? Looking on the sides means desiring to eat the forbidden apple. This is such a nice, simple, powerful allegory which Radha Maharaj explained from Genesis, the Old Testament. He said when in the spiritual sky, in what they call heaven, of course, they don't call spiritual sky, heaven. Adam and Eve are there, the first and the created woman from Adam's ribs, Eve. He said, this whole Garden of Eden is for you to enjoy. This is for you. Everything in this huge property, it is a vast property, almost unlimited property. Everything is yours. Just enjoy. Because you are my children. And they looked around and they were very happy. There's so much to enjoy, so much to see, so much fun. That tree you see in the center, the tree of knowledge. You don't go to that tree and don't eat that fruit. Anything else? So they're enjoying for a long time. And as the allegory goes, the snake comes in and whispers in the ears of Eve, that fruit, that is very nice. You know why he's not told you to eat this?
So, no, come. So he gradually seduces Eve to start looking and reconsidering whether it is worth giving up that favorable choice of eating that very special, very juicy, luscious fruit of this very special tree. So you know what will happen if you eat this? You'll become like God. So Eve is gullible. Eve is vulnerable. She is naive. There's something similar to Mother Sita getting attracted to that forbidden deer of Ramayana. It's not a real deer. It's a forbidden deer. And Lakshmana also says this. Mother Sita, this is doesn't appear to be like a real thing. This is look like a some Photoshop deer, you know. Some created. You can put all colors here and there and make it very nice. This is not a And Rama says this is not interested because Ram is Ram, Sri Kalkinani. But as the Leela goes, we know what happened. So she eats the fruit and she gives it to Adam to eat. They both eat the fruit. And what happens? They are now tainted with a serious sin. And they lose their ignorance, their innocence. They become aware about many things they were not aware about. They become aware about dualities. When the Lord comes in the garden and looking for them, they are not there around, hiding behind some tree. Where they were innocent, they were moving around, buried in the four, you know, open in the four directions. But now they are all hiding around and said, what happened? And they tell me what happened. And they are now cursed. So they have to come down to this world. So the desire to eat the forbidden apple is intrinsic in all of us. That means first, even though the spiritual master tells you do's and don'ts, vidhi and nished, it's all full of scriptures, is basically full of that. Right? All the vidhis and all the nished, it's so much. And of course we told, itayudeva kinkara. The kinkara is that we remember Krishna. But a tendency does not go. Right? And therefore, again and again this warning comes. Arjuna expresses a very serious doubt to Krishna in the Gita. Because the faculty in the human being which actually makes these choices, what is our choice? Essentially only two. There are only two realities. The eternal reality, the temporary reality. There is no third reality. This doesn't exist. Aparashakti, Parashakti. And what are we? When between these two. Therefore we call us Tadasa Shakti. What is it within us? If we are the model, if we are a micro model of the universe, what is it within us which is Tatastha? There is a Tatastha Shakti within us also, within this human body, and that is the mind. The mind actually is a Tatastha Shakti between the sentient and the non-sentient. It is a mind which deciphers and makes these choices. It's actually matter, subtle matter, but typically speaking, it is so close to the soul and so close to the senses and body also. It is intimately connected with both these dimensions of reality within us. Right? So the actual discriminatory power, now in the, when it comes to discrimination, we say mind, intelligence, false ego, right? The psychologists don't see it like that. They don't talk anything as intelligence. The psychologists say there is two minds, the reactive mind and the reflective mind. That's what they say. So, the reactive mind is this desire for fruitive gain. But what we are doing right now, at 8:50 in the morning on Thursday, is we are investing we are watering. We are reinforcing the reflective mind. Right? That reflective mind is what Prabhupada says is Nityam Bhagavata Sivaya. That's what he wants us to do again and again. Why? Why? You have heard enough. Haven't we heard enough? How many likes of Radhanath Maharaj or your favorite speakers you have heard or Prabhupada? Each one in this room has heard thousands of classes. Literally thousands of classes. Why should a sadhaka sit again for a class every day? Prabhupada talks about this point very diligently. And so does Radhanath Maharaj. Maharaj quotes a particular British author called as C.L. Lewis. A British author died in 1963. He wrote a book. There are two characters. It's allegory again. It's Christian allegory. He talks about a book. But the book, it says, there's a demon, head demon, called as Scrutra. And the Chota demon, who is a trainee demon, was called as Wormwood. And his function is to get gullible souls to come to their party. Because they are susceptible to go towards their enemy. So who's the enemy? God. So one day the senior demon calls Wormwood and said, "You are fired. You are out." So why? What happened? Said, "You are trying to prove to these people outside that material life is good, material life is nice, it's real. It's the real thing. It is what gives you joy. You're creating all these promises for them. But that type of preaching does not work anymore. You are fired. That's what you're doing all the time." Right? So what works in Kali Yuga? What works in Kali Yuga, Bharat says, very powerful. He says, what works in Kali Yuga is only one thing. And this is what Scrutrap told Wormwood. What works is only one thing. Propaganda. Jargon. Jargon will work. Not all this nonsense which you are talking about. This is for the people who are bygone ages to prove to them that material life is bad, it is real, it is good, nice. This will not work now. Propaganda. Just to propaganda using jargon. Oh, this is something interesting. The Prabhupada developed this point very nicely. He says that, what I mean of propaganda? So he gives a nice example. It's very relevant. So one day a group of friends come together and they want to do mischief with this other friend of theirs. So they want to disturb his mind terribly. So when you meet, you tell him that he become a ghost. So this friend comes in to meet them. You have become a ghost. Are you all right? I'm the same fellow, not a ghost. What's wrong with this fellow? Just goes. So next one. You have become a ghost. See? What's wrong with this fellow? He goes to all these friends. No. They'll run away. They see when they run away, sees a ghost. By the time he reaches his 12th friend, he starts thinking. He becomes a ghost. And he actually becomes depressed. I become a ghost. What is this? Propaganda. If you repeat the same thing again and again and again, even if it is false, you start believing it. And you repeat the same thing again and again. If it is real, also believe it. So now, in the modern times, 21st century that we are, how much propaganda, how much are the agents of propaganda, the media, the mediums of propaganda are so many.
50, 60 years back, there was nothing. Maybe just a transistor was there. Sure. How much propaganda you do on a transistor? Some song, and something. Then the television, the video, the CDs, VCDs, this, that. And now the whole world is full of so many means of doing propaganda. Right? And the more people read here, they get convinced. As Bhakti Charu Maharaj says, West is best. Born from a very traditional Bengali family, this person who's a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava in our Sampradaya, in our Uruvanda line, was raised in a family where his father in Bengal believed that West is the best. He was a victim of this propaganda. Many of us here also. So if you wanted to go to America, you wanted to go to GRE, this, that and all, West is best. And this propaganda goes on today. Everything there is best. Propaganda. So, we have been told to do this. The Prabhupada gives another example. Mahārāja gives another example. Very nice example. It talks about another higher principle in propaganda. It was a British comedian called Max Linden. So he's gone from a formal dance and he's sitting on a bench and children come and nail his coat to the bench and he gets up, it tears. His back washing tears, his tail tears, and he goes to the dance. He started dancing to look at his tail, looking to his backside, his thighs are being seen, his skin is seen. People say, look at that. And people say, what's wrong with me? He goes to the bathroom and sees this. But he said, this person knew human psychology. And that's the point we are making today about human psychology, the mind. He didn't care about going and changing his dress or buying a new one or saying, okay, I do not dance today. He went back again to the dance again. And he began dancing with such fervor, with such dynamism, such enthusiasm. He looked at him and said, wow, this is great. He's enjoying more than us. He said, what is the secret of this? This is the latest fashion. Goes, and everyone tears their tails and starts dancing like him. So, propaganda with enthusiasm is a higher thing. So for us, dear devotees, Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya means that we subject ourselves voluntarily and humbly to the propaganda of the acharyas. Acharyas keep us telling us again and again. Abrahma bhuna loka punaravarti narchuta. Please remember this. Prabhupada says here, from topmost to the lowest, not worth. Nama bina kichu nahi ko aro chauda bhuvana maji. Again the same thing. Not worth. Only holy name is the only thing. Not worth. I have seen and considered the whole creation. Not worth. Varam deva moksham na moksham vadhimva na chanyam vrineham varaseda piha. Idam teva purnath gopala balam sadame manasyavi rastam ki manyai. We sing this song every year for those 1 month. Beautiful, is it not? Right? These negative inclusions of our acharyas is what we want to take seriously for following this particular thought process of Prabhupada. That keep on reinforcing your mind with this propaganda, it is not worth. We just sang a few days back Jagannath Ashtakam, right? It says the same thing. What is that? Nayache, you know that? Towards the end it comes, right? Rupya, Manikya, all those things, right? And Mahaprabhu said the same thing. See, there is no discrepancy between the acharyas. There is such a congruent, such a streamlined, such a non-confusing language they have. It's very clear. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. Very clear. Don't indulge. Don't indulge in these things. But this is Prabhupada saying that he is prone to you slip in this path. It's a very slippery path. If this is thorny, this is very slippery. Better the thorns than the slip. At least you can remove the thorns and walk next to you. If you slip, you fall, trip, you hurt yourself. How do we really get this particular thing? Prabhupada says here, something which you will have to believe. He says, this is called as the seesaw phenomena of spiritual life. Material life is inversely proportional to spiritual life. And spiritual life is inversely proportional to material life. For a devotee, when he experiences Krishna, as we said in the beginning, right? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very beautiful, fantastic sloka by Kaviraj Goswami. Krishna Pada Padma Gandha Sei Janapai Brahma Loka Adi Sukha Taranahi Bhai. Beautiful sloka. So eloquent, so deep, so hope-giving, so encouraging, and so revealing, I would say. Right? Krishna Pada Padma Gandha. The fragrance and aroma from Krishna's lotus feet. Prabhupada talks about tasting the lotus feet over here. Taste it with your nose. Jai Janapai. Anybody? What is the result of that? Brahma Loka Adi Sukha. Taranahi Bhai. Correct? So the moment you raise that dimension of your consciousness, like a seesaw. What happens in a seesaw? Like this, like that. Right? When the Krishna factor becomes prominent in your consciousness, other thing automatically becomes insignificant. And if it's for the karmi who is like this, for him this world of enjoyment is a reality. This is the only, this is end and all, the be all and end all of life. He's going to give himself for millions of lifetimes of this false promise that this is the real thing. Right? He's like this. For him, spiritual life is insignificant, not even significant. The Srimad Bhagavatam gives a nice example in 9th canto of this actually happens. It's not theoretical. You know, we had kings in our country, King of Baroda, Rajkot, Nizam of Hyderabad, very rich man. After he was annexed and all that, it seems he had so much property that, you know, we had 3 planes just for him, which flew with only one passenger, him, to UK, to get all the property to UK. He had so much after being annexed by the Indian government. He's the king of the Nizam of Hyderabad. What is Hyderabad? It's a small little state in the whole land of India, in this whole country. Imagine somebody who is the ruler of the world, like Parishad Maharaj. And Bhagavatam is in a scripture which, you know, broadens our horizons to such level where you don't start thinking of Hyderabad and Rajkot. Rajpipala, the kings of Thana also were there. You know, kings like Thana. 17th century king of Thana was there. They were fighting at Vasai with the Portuguese. All this is there, right? You're talking about Thana and Hyderabad and earth. But you talk about the kings who controlled the 7 islands. Jambudvip is one of them. We are not even figured out how big is Jambudvip, right? Jambudvip is huge, and there are 7 islands there, you know, Ila and Salmali, and all these dweepas are given. Here is a man who knows all about the dweepas, Pavaneshwar Prabhu. You know? He knows all about these dweepas. He's written in his nice book, and cosmology. We don't even understand what he understands, fraction of that. So Ambarish Maharaj is the king of these 7 islands, son of Nabhaga. Now, what does it mean to be a king of the 7 islands, right? Look at that scale, right? That means what is actually in a possession? The Bhagavatam says, Avyayam Shriyam Labdva. Avyayam. His Shriyam, his opulence was Avyayam, is inexhaustible. That's what Shuddha Goswami is saying, that inexhaustible type of opulence. So if you have so much, right? Now we should sort of compare again, as we saw the seesaw phenomenon, you should compare it with Hiranyakashipu, right? Because somebody had even greater than that, right? What was his state of his consciousness? Right? For him, spiritual life was insignificant. He couldn't care less about what Prahlad is saying. In fact, the moment he started saying things which he felt were quite stupid in his kingdom as a demon, he had to be eliminated from this world, even if he was his son. Even if he loved him, he has to be killed. So it says this, Amrish Maharaj was so pure, and as we said before, he was experiencing Krishna with his mind, with his tongue, he was vibrating Krishna's names, the hands, he was wiping the floor, with the body, he was embracing the Lord's devotees, the eyes were seeing the Lord, right? Savai manaha Krishna padara vindayo vacham sivukantha gunanu varadne. He was fully absorbed in Krishna. Fully absorbed. 100%. Rishikena rishikena sevanam uchate. Fully absorbed. For him it is said, this is very significant, what Prabhupada says, that for him the entire wealth of all that he had was lostravat. Lostravat. Like a piece of stone. Wow. How is it possible? This is what Prabhupada is saying here. Somebody who has so much thinks it is insignificant. Why? Because he has seen Krishna at Keshi Ghat. He has seen this as Keshi Ghat. His head capital was at Mathura, right? He was there and he had gone to take his bath and he's in the story and Yamuna and Dhruva Maharaj, I mean, Durasmoni came and all that story we know, right? Ekadashi Vrat, Dvadashi Vrat. So once you experience Krishna, automatically things start paling away. And that, according to Srila Prabhupada, is a very important denominator for all of us to really think about. He said, this is a sign of perfection in progressive devotional life. Are we going progressing towards the eternal sky? Day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year? Are we progressing? How much are we losing that taste? It's all about taste. Therefore, Prabhupada called this book, The Higher Taste. Huh? And your Gita Krishna says about the higher taste. There are tastes. We have to have taste. They cannot be not have taste. But this is the inferior taste, the lower taste, jada rasa. Or Rupa Goswami says specifically, jada ananda. Then of course there is Brahmananda. But our acharyas seem to tell that even Brahmananda is like a drop of water in a desert. The spirit soul wants to have unlimited ambudi pleasure that no one and nothing in the world can provide. That only Krishna, who is the ocean of beauty. Why is the material world so attractive? Why it has been so attractive to us, to the wayward devotee who is, you know, considering options, and to millions and billions of souls who are in this world? Why is the material world so attractive? Very simple. Because Krishna is all attractive. Because Krishna is so attractive, therefore the material world, which is his energy, is also very, very attractive. But Krishna gives us an understanding in the Gita. He said, this attraction which you are feeling for the mountains, for the valleys, for the nature, for the birds, for the beasts, and this power and prestige, you're getting attracted to all these things. Right? This is what? Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam evava. Gachat, this is Tejo Amsha Sambhavam. All this attraction which Brahma Loka has, that Indra is fascinated by, infatuated by, right? And all the demigods are completely absorbed in that rasa of heavenly pleasures. All that put together, Akhunda Krishna is only Mama Tejo Amsha Sambhavam. So then that really gives us deep food for thought. what is the beauty of this person called Krishna? If all this beauty of this world is tejo, is a spark, and he is the fire, he's producing so many sparks. If this is just one spark, what is his beauty? That is my experience with Rupa Goswami at Keshi Ghat. That is what is experienced by Satyavrat Muni in Damodarastakam. He's seeing Krishna. Go to the Rupa, go to the Nava. He's experiencing. Tukaram is experiencing. He's seeing not the Murti of Sri Panduranga Dev. He's seeing Dwarkadish Krishna, beautiful. Hands on his waist. They're seeing Krishna. Ramanujacharya, this is a devotee called, not devotee, that time you're not devotee, so Dhanur Das. He's fascinated by the beauty of this Hebamba, whose eyes are very beautiful. And he's carrying his umbrella for all the time. Walking around, that time, I think his name is Nam Perumal, Rusamurti. The Rusamurti of Sri Ranganath Swami is going out, procession, going out. And this, Dhanur Das is holding umbrella. I said, so the heat should not affect her, she should not get suntan. And he's like, he's fascinated, right? And Acharya is going, look at this crazy fellow. The Lord is coming on the roads. Everyone is offering prayers, flowers, arti, puja, argya, everything. And this man, call him. Said, what is it in this girl which you find so interesting? Said, her eyes, Acharya, her eyes are so tantalizing. Cannot find it. This is so beautiful. Said, come tomorrow to my ashram. This is a mercy, compassion. It's called as Kripa Siddhi. So he takes him to Ranganath Swami's temple next day morning. And he said, behold the Lord. And of course, like Krishna gave Divya Drashti to Arjuna. Right? So, he gives him divine vision. He's not qualified. He said, look at the eyes. Look at the form of the man. And the moment he sees Ranganath Swami, oh, that astoundingly enchanting, captivating beauty of the all-attractive form of the Lord lying on the Sheshashayi is so mesmerizing to Dhanur Das. He breaks into tears of love flowing like torrents. And he starts offering prayers and becomes repentful for having taken such a cheap substitute of his, of course they married afterwards, became husband and wife, of this girl's eyes. Every part of Krishna is the reservoir of beauty. When Madhushil was cutting the hair of Mahaprabhu Chaitanya at Katwa, and Kantak Nagar, he's a barber, that is his job. He must have cut tens of thousands of hair without even thinking second time. One shot here, one shot there, and whatever. In 5 minutes, whatever, the chakot or whatever it was, it is done. But when he's moving towards the Lord's to cut that, he just cannot do it. He just cannot do it. He starts crying. So how can I cut this hair? This hair is the essence of beauty. Each strand is the essence of beauty. How can each strand be the essence of beauty? Oh yes, it is. This is not Dantakatha. This is something which a barber actually is saying. What he's saying is true. He's seeing all attractive forms of the Lord. Each strand is all attractive to him. He cannot cut his hair. Mahaprabhu is saying, cut my hair. He just can't wait to take sannyas. He's burning the desire to go and flood the world with Harinam. He said, first I must take sannyas for that. So he says, come on, get rid of this hair soon. Krishna's hair, his smile. Vallabhacharya writes, describes Madhura Madhure Bhyopi, the whole song, Gamana Madhuram, Tilaka Madhuram, Hasya Madhuram. It's a song to meditate upon. Why should we allow our consciousness to fall for what Acharya has told again and again? This is inferior. This is jada. This is Chapala Sukha. Right? Why should we allow our mind to gravitate towards its unfortunate natural proclivities and not really go by the propaganda of our acharyas, and therefore, and you do Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya, all of us together in company of devotees in front of the Lord, and the humble spirit of receptivity, right? Then our reflective mind, which is our intelligence, becomes activated. And then what Krishna says in the Gita happens. Maya sakta manaha partha. The goal of life is 7th chapter. This beautiful verse. Maya sakta. Just become asakta to me through manaha partha. Through your mind, my dear partha. Right? So when we follow this purport of Srila Prabhupada with a grateful heart, avoiding the so-called temptations and keeping them aside, we'll be again attracted to that beautiful form at Keshi Ghat, the Lord of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.